This is an honor to be here. Welcome to Heart of Worship Podcast. We're honored to be here through much prayer, God-given vision.
Amen.
Naiz Divliska, al-Islam, gentlemen.
Amen.
We're here tonight, our first episode. I'm excited. Kate Samu Romano, pastor, Odugi, a worship leader, Okolia. Forward to a beautiful night.
Amen.
And we're here to answer theological questions. Podcast, it's for you. It's for the city and abroad. God gave us the vision for you guys. This is what we're here for. Pastor.
Amen. God bless you. Sa pindasimo pralo Angelo, we want to answer the questions that you might have.
Amen.
Down the road, we are envisioning that we ask you the question. There's got to be a time that we connect with you, the audience. There got to be topics that are simple. What is truly a church? What makes us a body of Christ? What is worship? And hopefully we touch on that topic tonight. And of course, fellowship. These are the topics that I believe at times have been, if I can say this, and I say for myself, something as simple what worship is. For the longest time, Angelo, I felt like worship was simply something that I did exclusively in church.
Hey,
yeah, what up?
And it gave me a sense of, well, I'm going to church to worship.
Mm.
And then we find ourselves that the Bible doesn't necessarily teach that. It is part of what the gathering of the fellowship is, but not exclusively.
Very good.
So we want to dive into that. And I believe it's a great start to something. And I would like everybody's going to believe have something to bring to the table to it.
Amen.
And I'm going to start off with my brother, Kolya. He leads the worship here at Heart of Worship Ministries.
Amen.
Kolya, what would be, for the audience's sake, what would be something that we can bring a broader clarity of what this word worship is?
So worship.
Amen.
For a very long time, gentlemen, I thought, always thought, go worship sa sarmatudentu, pastor. Going to church on a Sunday. Having that 30, 40 minutes, Angelo.
Hey.
Going to church on a Thursday.
Correct.
And I thought that was me being a worshiper.
What the? Mm-hmm.
And as we could see, we could think of one of the first worshipers in the Bible is Abraham.
Amen.
And that's a beautiful, perfect example. And when God told him to sacrifice his son, you see the obedience that Abraham had.
Amen.
You see the sacrifice that he had.
Mm.
So a worship. Worship is something, Angelo, that I should live by daily.
Amen.
It's not a one-time event.
No.
That happens on a Sunday for 30, 40 minutes.
It don't just happen at the altar and the congregation.
Very good. It don't just happen at the altar.
It's a lifestyle.
We are called to live a life of worship, a life of obedience, a life of sacrifice. And I believe that this is what's pleasing to God. So what is worship? Worship is more than a Sunday, pastor.
Amen.
Worship should be something we practice every day. Amen.
Agree. Yes. Agree. I believe the highlight for me every time, and if you see the church logo, you know, everybody, and we adopt this because we see it everywhere else, you know, every ministry, every logo, what scripture are we going to use, right?
Yeah.
And I shared the emphasis of what I'm going to be straight up, my encounter of what worship was. Really drawed ministry out of me.
Wow.
Because, you know, sometimes we think the altar in the church, and my experience, remember being a young servant with the door shut in my office and just being in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
I got the taste of being in his presence, not just being in church. And those are the points that I believe intimacy and relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Through the word and through his presence. So
Amen.
The stuff that stand up for me, like you said now about Abraham, you know, the Lord tells him, go take your only son and who you love and go sacrifice him on the mountain in which I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to see that Abraham, I believe that Abraham was a worshiper.
Amen.
Because sometimes I believe, and I believe everybody's going to have a output on this. Did sacrifice make him a worshiper? Or was he a worshiper that sacrificed?
Come on, very good point.
See, because sometimes we dedicate our time and our effort to, I'm going to serve the Lord. And let's speak the truth. I think all of us, the audience, can agree with this. We have made the sacrifice a burden to a point because it was just sacrifice and we were trying to call it worship. Mm. And that could be very dangerous at times because, let's speak the truth, if anybody is going to serve the Lord, not in the strength that the Lord provides, you will get burnt out. Mm. So what should be the idea of it? The idea of it, according to scripture, again, the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus gives that strong emphasis that the Father is spirit and he's seeking the true worshiper.
Amen.
That would worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, let's talk about common mistakes. You have to be in the spirit. I was taught that.
Yes, of course. We all was. Yeah.
So we got to just get in the spirit and we got to get in truth. But would even of us would a burden mm-hmm. in worship.
Chuda.
So how can I present truth when I'm confused?
Wow.
So I believe reading in context, and we want to give you the best possible understanding to this. You, the audience, this is one topic that I believe we can use up the whole program for
broad
it, but
range.
We it's a broad
yes.
range. It's esprosconios. That's worship, worshiper, as a matter of fact. That's a noun. And then prosconitis is actually worship. So let's read it. And the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and there's a dialogue between the Samaritan woman. And Jesus answers it to her, whoever drinks of the water will never thirst again. But whoever drinks from the water that I shall give will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become unto him a fountain of water that springs up to everlasting life. And the woman says, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst. Basically, I want this water that you're saying. And she's approaching it like in a very physical form. Yeah, I always come to this well, and I don't want to come every day. So just give me this water so that I don't have to. She got it very literal. So Jesus again corrects it. It says, woman, sir, give me this water that I'm in. It says, Jesus goes and tells her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman, it says, I have no husband. And Jesus says, you rightfully have said, I have no husband. For you have five husbands, and the one you have not now is not your husband, and that you have spoken truthfully. And then she starts perceiving that he's a prophet. And he says this part as we approach chapter verse 21. And it says, woman, I believe that the hour is coming that you will neither worship in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. For the Father you worship what you do not worship. For we know what we worship. Salvation comes from the Jews. But the hour is coming now than when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in the truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship. Right there. Look at this now. So the problem is yeah, Pastor, that's what it is. You got to just worship. Chachimasa. Okay, so
yeah.
let's give it some context. So it says the hour is coming where the true worshiper will worship. Now, not because I want to be extremely detailed over it, but this is a true mistake that we do. So it talks about two things. When you get a little involved with scripture, it puts you in a place to understand that worshipers and worship is the same thing, but not exactly. Worship is the action. And the worshiper is the person.
By the action, what do you mean by the action?
Okay, so let's just say we can come to church mm-hmm. and we can give worship. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make us worshipers.
Mm-hmm. Playing the part.
Very good.
So doing the action. So in context, we can do the verb, but not necessarily be the noun, which is the thing.
Wow. Okay. Amazing.
Okay.
Very
so
good.
My biggest thing was, and if you guys remember not too long ago, Doogie, I remember the number one thing that I used to hear, I miss going to church to worship when there was COVID.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I missed the church. And then you started to realize that we have made in a way, I'm sorry, I'm going to lay it as it is. We made church the only place that we can seek God.
Amazing. God.
And a lot of people have lost the drive since COVID to come back and to connect with their worship because they lived the life without worship.
Wow.
But the Father is not searching that. He's searching the worshiper that will worship. And now that changes things, doesn't it? Because as believers, we have to always be in that mindset. We have to be a aroma, a living sacrifice.
Very good.
Paul alludes to say that to be a living sacrifice, he uses the same terminology as it was in the Ark of the Covenant of Moses, that they would bring daily sacrifice. And that aroma is the one that pleased God. So as each one picks up our own cross, we in a way are killing the flesh.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that we also put our flesh and crucify it on the cross daily.
Amen.
And that is part of it, but that's not the entirety of it. Because in it, it says two things. They would worship in spirit and in truth. The word spirit means the mind.
Come on.
And the word truth means in the context of instruction.
Amen. Wow.
So sometimes we might do the instruction with our mind being renewed.
Mm.
That's why he doesn't say just one. He says both of them. So I would say this. I've shared this. I'm passionate about this.
Yes.
To be a worshiper is both your thoughts and your actions captivated by the one that is absolutely the greatest treasure in our life.
Amen. Totally.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
God
He's the best.
All.
So what makes a worshiper, and I'm done with this topic, and I want your guys' input in this too. To be a worshiper simply means that God is the greatest value in your life.
Mm.
Because if you love God above all, then what's going to happen? Nothing is going to get in the way of your worship.
Amazing.
To be a true worshiper means that you love God above everything in your life. And Abraham is the perfect example. The thing that he loved the most, he overrided it because he loved God even above his own son.
Amazing. Amazing.
That should be the point.
Amazing. It was everything.
Amen.
He gave it all.
Amen.
He gave his best.
Gave his best.
So with that being said, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What would be the requirements of a worshiper? Do we need to have talent? Do we need to be singers? Do we need to play an instrument? Do we need to have some sort of talent to be a worshiper, Pastor? What would be our requirements? What does a worshiper do in his daily walk with Christ? Does a worshiper study the Word of God? Is the worshiper a man of prayer? Does the worshiper partake in these practices, or is it something that he has a talent, he's a singer, and that's what he does on a Sunday and on a Thursday?
Very good.
During the rest of the week,
well,
what are his requirements to do as a worshiper?
Very good.
Yeah.
I would say absolutely to be a Christian is the first steps. There is teaching on this. Scripture in itself talks about to be a Christian or to be the church.
Yeah.
Exclusively. This is a broad topic again, because what happens is that we say, why should I go to church?
Yep.
Because that question comes up a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the function of the church, we have two things. We listen to the sermon. We come to worship. And then it almost seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, it almost seems like when we leave church, all of those commitments and devotions kind of leave and disappear. Stay in the church, disappear.
Wow.
So I believe that to be a Christ follower has to be first.
Amen.
Amen.
Because imagine how many people have found themselves out of reach to serve the Lord because maybe they don't have a talent.
Wow.
Or maybe they're not accepted.
Very good.
Or status quo. And if anything, and please, my boldness is always going to set in motion here. Maybe we got to be untrained what the model of a believer, of a Christian is.
Yes, I agree. Come on.
Because sometimes we say, I'm going to say it for myself because I've been in those shoes. Man, I see the servants in the church and it feels like that service is so far out of reach for me because I don't have what they have.
Sure though.
To be truly the servant leader, and we've been talking, this has been coming up extremely. So in context of scripture, I would say the church in itself was branded, the Christians were Christ followers.
Amen.
I believe that has to be established first. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, popular scripture, let's read all of it. If I confess into your mouth, from your mouth, that the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has risen him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart one believes unto righteousness, and from the mouth confesses made unto salvation. Okay, so that is the beginning steps. We get there first. No one gains this. How amazing this is. No one gets the privilege to say, I saved myself, or I found God.
Hey.
So this is the most humbling beginning of a true servant, leader, Christian. The early church called the Christ followers Christians, and it simply says, Christ means anointed. Christians will be like the anointed one. Mm-hmm. So we look like the anointed one. No talent, no gift was given prior to that.
Amazing.
It was a gift of God, and it's still a gift of God. Our life of service becomes a life of gratitude and thank you. Look what Paul says. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I have suffered loss of all things, and I've counted them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Let's give some context in this, because sometimes we say, well, I gotta give it up all, Pastor, in order to... No. He's saying, I've counted those things which I thought that were valuable at one point in my life, and the comparison of the knowledge of Christ, I've counted them as garbage. So meaning that he found Jesus to be the greatest value in his life. We start there, Kolya. Because if we don't start there and we're thinking that the gateway of becoming a worshiper is the service in the building, we have actually made the church a religious temple that only those that serve in the temple have access to be a true worshiper.
Wow. Amen. Amen.
That will be the answer.
For the viewer, that Chitrabul will position on the Kangari in order to be a worshiper. Chitrabul Develo talent. Angelo, Deva's worshippers. Chitrabul Deva's musicianess in order Deva's worshippers. What does a worshipper do? A worshipper lives his life, Pali Sarmutodem, a life of obedience, a life of sacrifice in our daily walk. Maybe there's a lot of people that, me myself, I served on choir for a very long time, and that was about all I did.
Yes.
And I thought that was it. I thought that was Sunday or Thursday, and that's it. Nas vorba on the Monday, nas prayer on the Monday. It was just my servitude was on Sunday and Thursday. God has called us to do more. God has called us to live a life of obedience by living and by being in His Word. Amen. Are we in the God's Word? Are we in prayer? Are we studying?
Amen.
And this is what I came up with, Angel. Listen to this quote. Worship is something that comes from the heart to a God that's been revealed to us through His Word.
Amen. Very good.
So if God is not revealed to us through His Word, how can we be worshipers? If we're not in the Word of God, if we're not in prayer, if we're not doing the things of God and living our life has a true sacrifice, not the way we want it, but the way God attended us.
Amen.
That's how we could worship. How could we worship God? How could we worship? Can we worship, Angelo, without obedience and without sacrifice?
No, not at all.
The answer is absolutely not.
Amen.
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 Beautiful. You know, Pastor said something. What is a Christian? And I believe a lot of us, Angel, we have the wrong mindset of a Christian, a Romano mentality. By Gal on Odell. Yeah, I believe in God. I go to church Sunday, Thursday.
When I can.
When I can. What the? And I believe the worship even touches on this. I believe you touched on Romans 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, He has raised you from the that He was raised from the dead, you'll be saved. Amen?
Amen.
So I believe that we accept the justification process immediately, Pastor. But with Divar Angelo, we struggle with the sanctification process.
All the time.
We want to get the sanctification process and do it ourselves. We don't want to get this thing that we're suffering with and give it to God and allow God to deal with it.
Hey. Yes, of course.
I believe that a lot of people have that mentality. Well, I got to get this out of my life. I got to stop doing this before I can come to church. I believe as a, what is a Christian? I believe a Christian is someone who humbles themselves before God, knows that you're living a sinful life, and giving it to God and leaving it at his feet. And I think the key encounter, what leads into worship, is that special moment, that encounter, that moment where I believe we all have that moment, that in our special time that we have with God that changed our life, Pastor. And I feel like we need to take the concept of what we have in our mind, the Romania, what it is to be a Christian, and just coming to Sunday, that it's sacrifice, that it is true worship in all that we do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Perfect. I think I want to add something before I skip the beat on it. It's the idea I feel many times is the humility of salvation.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Because, and this goes for everyone here, and as much as you're listening out there, to walk in the humility of salvation allows us also to walk in the humility of forgiveness. Allows us to walk a life of gratitude and thank you.
Mm. Beautiful. Very good.
Because I feel, and I don't know if the audience feels this way, and I don't know if the rest of us in here, but I believe this is truly in biblical context, that I am not worthy of what Christ did.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
And the debt in which he forgave allows me every day to say thank you. And what I want to say is, we don't have an encounter with Christ to improve or to get blessings. But truly, it has to be this, that salvation had to come, because if not, I was destined to hell.
Amen.
And that's the gratitude and thank you.
He becomes the prize.
Absolutely.
He becomes everything, the prize, right? I want to say, as you guys are talking, Abilomanga, you know, we talked about it recently, the model of prayer. When the disciples asked, oh, Jesus, Pinka, teach us to pray. Hadikas, ano Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. I love the opening statement, Doogie. It says, our Father in heaven. Janice, we was talking about worship, and we're on this topic. Look how Jesus personalized prayer, our Father. Look in the model of prayer. You see, Pastor, how he talks about forgiveness, talks about their provision, talks about how you have a personal relationship when you could call God Abba, Abba Father. Amen. He personalized it. Everything there becomes, he's the prize. He's the Father. So, Diche Mila, the initial question, is worship only done if I'm a servant on the choir, mm-hmm. yes. or if I'm in church at Pendentume? You know what's sad? With that mentality, Samikas Amaro worship Numaka Walter.
Yeah.
Chimila, what about Monday, Tuesday? What about when I want to worship him and I can't get to the church? I got to wait Sunday? No. I love that Jesus said, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, but the time is coming when the true worshiper will worship Amen. In spirit Amen. And truth. So I believe we live a life of worship. And it's first and foremost, if he's your Father, then you're going to get up every morning. Hai list to sanglal. Tu san mugodad. You could help me forgive. You're my all in all. He becomes the prize possession. I believe that's worship.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Beautiful. Very good.
I believe also, and you talk about prayer, and it's one of those things.
Yeah.
I love the idea that prayer in some texts of the Bible does not necessarily mean asking.
Hey, come on. That's very good.
So prayer in itself, and I know we're reaching to different topics, but I believe it comes back around, Angelo, because, when should I pray? Is it at the church? Is it when I'm in trouble? Or is it in the morning or when I need something? I believe prayer needs to be established, according to Scripture, that it becomes our bridge of connection through relationship. Right. And together with it, we might get in the presence. We might just want to have fellowship with God. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm just going to go something that, again, I love, I'm passionate about. It gives three understandings: prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Now, look at this now. Again, to connecting with worship, Kolya, Angelo, Doogie, listen. The word prayer in this context does not necessarily mean asking. It actually, it impels an action of worship and devotion, not just asking for things. It suggests that prayer in this verse is not merely about presenting requests. Now, I know that in the context of the verse, because he says prayer, and then he says supplication, which is asking. So I know that the first part of the model of how we need to approach is given by Jesus, but it gives us a more broader sense that our prayer now becomes a place where we enter in relationship, we meditate on the word, and we come to him not necessarily presenting our needs, but in that connecting with relationship to where the next phase of our asking becomes not selfless.
Amen.
You wow. see, it becomes about what can I do for you, God?
Amen.
Now, if there is an intercessor out there, we must enter through the concept of worship first. Because let's speak the truth. We don't know what we need to ask for.
Hey, what
the Spirit is the one that guides us and directs us.
Amen.
But if we're a mess and we don't know how to get our mind clear, we don't know how to come. And I'm not trying to make it systematic here, but we all had our days that we don't know what the hell we're asking for.
Hey, you don't got the strength.
We're asking for this, we're asking for that. Imagine we have to get everything we're asking for. That would have been a problem.
Hey.
So I believe the idea here in this verse is presenting prayer as a place where I get worship and communion with God.
Amen.
So if I do enter in supplication, I can be supplication for me, I can be supplication for you.
Amen.
And that's what allows us to be intercessors. And the last one, it says thanksgiving. The Greek word for thanksgiving, I kid you not, could mean thanking him for what he did, thanking him for what he's doing, and thanking him for what he's about to do.
Amen.
And that
Amen.
Should be the concept of all of us. Listen, I know we're going to touch on many topics like this, but again, I believe that fellowship with each other is essential.
Oh, yes.
I believe fellowship with the Lord is essential. And I would want to say, let's touch on that. Angelo, what would be the main thing? We talked about church, we talked about worship, we talked about Christian.
So I know where you're leading to fellowship, so I believe it's going to lead into why do we have to go to church. That's
very good.
Lead us into there. So we establish that the following Christ, the worship part of it. So, Angelo, can I just have church at home with my family? Can I just worship?
Is it a must?
Do I need prayer and supplication with other people?
Very good.
Lead us in that direction, Angelo. I'm interested.
Janez, fellowship. I truly believe, Colette, that it's one of those things that we've seen people desire. But I want to say this, desire not in a biblical fellowship. So the question is, you know, what is biblical fellowship? You know, but can I just do this for a minute? Can I say what is not biblical fellowship? Can I go through a list a little
Let's
bit?
Nick?
Let's hear it.
Come on.
Watch this. So what is not biblical fellowship? And you ready? It's going to get personal. Okay. Going to eat after church with the couples who you like and not anyone else. Right? It's going to get funny. Ready?
That's wrong?
Fellowship with only those who have what you think is a high status in church.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I know. It's a little personal. I said they're personal, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're coming in.
You get away with it because you said it was personal, but you give us a heads up first.
Right, yeah, right, right.
Heads up.
Yeah,
right.
You.
But these all pinned on the Romans 12:16.
Mm.
Be of the same mind toward one another.
Thank the Lord.
Do not set your mind on high things, but here it is, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Amen. You see that right there?
Amen.
It literally just evens out everything right there, right?
Yeah. I'd like to add something. So
yes.
1 Corinthians, Pinello, you are now the body of Christ.
Very good.
And a member individually. I think Potiva Korea, we forget what's telling us here is that we're a member individually. As we come into the body of Christ, as we come into that relationship with God, that each and every one of us holds an individual part of servitude, a part of the church, and There needs to be a unity in it. Tapanel Angelo, maybe I don't want to go to eat with this guy. Maybe I just want to be friends with this. By doing that, I feel we contradict what God has in store for us, being a part of the body of Christ by not being obedient. You understand what I'm saying? 100%. Go ahead, Angelo.
Very good.
So, listen to this one. Having fellowship to each other's houses, but no word, no worship, and no edification. Can I tell you, that's just a hangout.
Yeah.
Very good.
If there's no edification, then there's no God-centered relationship. Just recently, me and Nick, the worship leader, he calls me up, and we have this beautiful dialogue. And I think it went for an hour and 40 minutes now.
Yeah, almost 2 hours.
I damn Duma, and we both said it. By the time we hanged up the phone, Pastor, I was edified.
Amen.
He was edified. And we had fellowship al telefono.
Amen.
But we built each other up. Amen. I want to read a little bit, not the whole thing, about what it is to have a sense of fellowship without edification.
Come on.
Found in Acts 5. Story. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, a little bit of an explanation, because it's a long chapter, but Pastor, what was going on here is, in the book of Acts, they were selling their land, their stuff, and they was giving the money to the disciples. Numai unde clay hai prinjade, something's beautiful going on. They wanted a part.
They wanted it. But, the outside.
Yeah. They wanted a part, Nick, of the fellowship. But she, Bagusaili and the Yulo.
Come on.
Christ wasn't here. Christ wasn't centered. Haradan. So they wanted to be a part of it. Hai sogo lope, gurde, bimalades anglodil. Hai ochachimos, not a good outcome for them. Ochachimos, we want fellowship without having a God centered relationship with people. You're just going to drown yourself.
Amen.
You're not going in a good direction. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Touch base on that. Remind me of Romans 8.
Hey.
For to be carnally minded is death.
Yes, yes.
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Putivar, I think we need to learn to discern where we're struggling in those areas, no?
Very good.
Sometimes we want to be in church, but there's some things that we're holding on to, Gloria. It's hard to let go to. And I believe we need to be more open and more obedient to what the voice speaks, Angelo. Go ahead.
Deke, Thessalonians 5:11, Penel. Therefore, comfort each other.
Amen.
And edify one another, just as you also are doing. Check this out, gentlemen. The word edify is used in the Bible to describe Christians, you ready? Go ahead, this is it. As builders of people or construction workers. The verse encourages people to offer constructive words in all places, at all times, such as in homes, at work, or in relationship with friends. Godo Minupe, if I'm going to have fellowship with you, Pastor, then I want to edify you. My words I want to choose to avail, to build you up. I mean, we want to have fellowship, but yet, I'm going to say it, we want to gossip about our fellow servants.
Or we want to prove some points sometimes.
No,
maybe.
No good. We want to talk about idle talk. No, I want you to edify me, and I edify you. And this is a God-centered fellowship. This is what fellowship should look like. Without God in the middle of it,
amen.
It's not biblical fellowship. So the answer is to edify one another as you fellowship. Last scripture I want to say is 1 John 1:17. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Perfect. Angelo, you're talking in Doogie and Kolya, and I'm thinking about so many things.
Yes.
And it's very dangerous if we don't wake up from this.
Chachas, I agree.
Because what could happen, and this could be a problem, if I only fellowship from those that I feel comfortable around, if those that I have created a circle of approval, I'm going to sound a little bit crazy, but You know me. This is what I do.
Yes.
Status quo.
Very
you know.
Good. Very good.
What you drive. What you wear. And then we create ourselves a circle of approval of people that we ought to break bread with. But the early church didn't gather because they wanted to hang out. There was two groups. There was the ones that received Christ and the ones that just received Christ.
Yes.
And the ones that are over here wanted to be an example for the ones that just came.
Beautiful.
And the expansion of the church was because each one took a responsibility to nurture and to lead those that just came yesterday. If we create a circle of brands and organizations that don't expand further beyond that organization, it could actually mean the dying of a ministry. Listen what the problem is. If I don't expand to be an example to others that are of the same faith, because to have fellowship with God means to have fellowship with people. So there are two concepts that we need to understand. This is fellowship. We're exhorting one another. We're ministering God's word. We want to help the people that are out there. And what is this rooted in? Is this rooted in popularity, status quo? Or this is rooted in to want to reach to more people than maybe physically I cannot. Now, that has to be the idea of it. Now, was this birthed at this relationship? No. It was birthed at a relationship that I have with God. And that love, because of the redemption plan of God that he had in my life, I know that I have to execute that very thing. So we say, I love the Lord, but I don't love you, Angelo. I love Kolya because he's my friend. And I love Doogie. We've been through some stuff together. But I don't know. You're a newcomer.
Yeah.
I don't love you the same way. That's not the model of me having a relationship with God. I have never met anyone truly that loves the Lord with all of their heart, with all of their mind, with all their soul, and despises their brother and sister. Listen, newsflash, it is impossible. Because what happens is, how am I supposed to show that I love God if I don't love that very person that is made in the image and the likeness of God?
Keep it up, Piano James.
Amazing.
How can you say you love God whom you can't see, but hate the brother who you could see?
That's a problem.
It's a problem.
So I believe Doogie's approach, Angelo, Kolya, I want to say this. This is probably at my favorite. That brings a sense of humility and service to God with our gifts. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, I saw that grace is given to me that everyone who's amongst you, not to think themselves any more higher than they ought to think.
Oh, very good.
But to think soberly. What's to think soberly? Basically, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith, for as each one are many members, but one body, but all members do not have the same function. So Amen. Being many are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another.
Amen.
If the body is a body, it's because we function to love one another. Jesus died for me. If this is not rooted in the cross, Angelo, then it's not true fellowship that God has displayed. That is not the design if it's outside of that.
Amen. Agreed.
One more thing, because it's one of my notes, and I promise I'm done.
Go ahead.
But there is a water called the Dead Sea. You know, and Dead Sea, Pastor, it only receives from the Jordan, and it's dead. There's no life in it. Kanchi naya deliste, right? And you know, I just can't help to think of the concept of, I don't want to be like the Dead Sea where I'm always being poured into, but I'm never giving back, right? So here's another good word on fellowship. You are expected to have enough word in you and much encounter that when somebody new walks through the door, that you're able to pour out into.
Amen.
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 So don't chimagolo dil stagnant, chimagolo dil Dead Sea. He wants you to be full of life, flowing. Amen.
Amen.
I just wanted to throw that in there.
Amen.
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 I wanted to touch on something real quick. Beautiful topics again. Just overview. Worship. What's a Christian? Why should I go to church? What's fellowship? And I know you got something to touch on this.
Okay.
So I believe that we have a lot of misconception on the church building as the body of Christ, that it's absolutely beautiful that we are able to gather Thursday, Sunday, Tuesday for Bible study at this church building. We thank God for what we have.
Amen.
But you've mentioned something, Pastor, and it's something I've been thinking about, that when we do gather, that it needs to be that we want to be in a form of a celebration.
Yes.
And in the form of what's going on out there. Can you touch on how church is more than just the four walls?
Amen. Again, I believe it's rooted in worship.
Amen.
It's rooted in fellowship. And it's truly rooted in what the church is formed of. I said this comment last time. I think I preached on this. I talked about that the church is not brick and mortar. That has to be one. Okay, so what is the church then? The church, by context of Scripture, explains that the church gathered in Corinth.
Amen.
So not because we went to a building and had church, the body of Christ gathered. Now, there are going to be things that we implement. We say the church is the hospital, Kaveluna Swalo. Well, and that's all good. I mean, I'm not saying that we don't come to the altar with a burden, and we should. Because we should cast all of our burdens onto him, all of anxiety, because he's a God that cares.
Right.
But what happens is that if we're not being the church outside the building, there won't be no expansion.
Wow.
And what happens is that we can confine all of our effort and service into 2 hours twice a week. And when it comes to leaving the church, we're not the church.
Amazing.
So the question is, what is truly the concept of the body of Christ? Let's speak the truth. When persecution faces the church, automatically expansion happens. And we don't face this level of persecution just yet, as we read the scripture, but the greater martyr that had died first, the first deacon that was martyrized, was the one that created a sense of expansion, because everybody started going out further. Now, maybe, just maybe, we get comfortable in the building.
Yes. Come on. We get comfortable with each other.
Very good.
Right. So I would say this. I think I said it recently, and I think I'm going to hold on to it. Maybe from the beginning, you're supposed to train and teach and build up. But essentially, there's a greater work outside the church.
Amen.
And I believe it is the work that we need to do.
Amen.
For me as a pastor, in which I look at the faces here and everybody that God has brought together in this ministry, I pray that you, the audience, will be inspired by, we're just servants. We want to carry out what God has given us. Together with it is discipleship, building leaders, not necessarily because of the gift of their talent. No, it's because we abide by God's word. If we are truly his disciples, we abide in his word.
Amen.
And if we abide in his word, we're not going to go off the path. That's the idea. But either we come up with our own ideas what church is, and we emphasize too much energy on 2 hours twice a week. Doogie, yes, it is a celebration. I believe we need to gather. And what we do, we glorify God. We edify one another. So that come from Monday all the way to the next gathering, we're out there ministering, preaching, wherever we thread our foot. It should always be an opportunity to preach the gospel to someone that is lost. And for the one that has backslided, to remind them that God has not finished with that person. That goes for all of us. This is all rooted in love. What propels us? What propels us to do these things is because we love the Lord and we have a relationship with him.
Very good.
Amen. 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 A lot of the categories we talked about tonight, we talked about fellowship, we talked about worship, we talked about prayer. And these are all beautiful things to do inside of the church and inside the church function. But how more beautiful and how more effective would we be to do those things outside of church?
Beautiful. That's the Amen. Great commission. And I, Amen.
The God great commission. To do. Here's one, guys. What if maybe 50% of the people we know will not enter your church? Well, think about that for a minute. What if Chenyamoria, your friends, never step foot in the church that you go to on Sunday and Thursday, but your heart goes for them. Praise Lingo. Well, I say this, bring church to them.
Amen.
I agree. Your witness to your partner, to your friend, to your cousin, trust me, it goes a long way.
Amen.
Okay? If you can't get them to go through the doors, you bring church to them.
Amen.
That doesn't mean Musa and Abba, altar, a choir, or pastor. No. You bring that altar experience that you got on Sunday, and you bring it on Monday to them. And I promise you this, they'll feel it. They'll recognize it. They'll be drawn to like a magnet. They'll want what you got. They want to see what you experience.
Amen. 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 Beautiful. I want to say this. I think it'll be the last thing I'll say. This is God's design.
Yeah.
To have a minister that is called by God. To have a function of leadership and servants in the church, such as deacons and teachers. An evangelist. This is all part of the mandate to be the local church. I never want to take away that the design is there for a purpose, but I feel at times we miss on the idea that it is to expand beyond the walls. I would say to the audience, and I will say it even locally here, submit to a pastor.
Amen.
Amen. Submit to a leader. Submit to someone that is going to mold you and disciple you. Yes. And shape you. Because at the end of the day, all of us in here are a product of someone pouring into us.
Amen.
That was
Amen.
God sent in our lives.
Amen.
Otherwise, we miss out on the design. And I believe, again, as one that preaches the word, I only get to say that I want to be part of God allowing us to raise up more leaders as God ordains it. So that we can expand further to every servant, to every minister that's listening to this. This is just one part of one service, one podcast. We want to have more conversations with you. This is probably about an hour into it already, approximately. But we want you to be part of it with us. This is going to go on multiple platforms. And we want you, the audience, to connect. Give us feedback. And maybe down the road, we're going to keep writing everything that you're questioning about. If you have a question that you want answered, we will take it up. You give us enough time, we will take it up. I believe this is the first episode. I believe it will go into a part two next week for sure.
Amen.
With
Amen.
These men here. And there will all be other faces that are going to minister God's Amen. Word in this podcast. And if it's possible, let's pray. And we'll close out for the glory of God. Brother Angelo, lead us in prayer.
Amen. Amaro dil, amaro dar, abasang latuti. Chaches Mugodil, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We pray, Mugodil, as this episode goes out, Lord, that it will reach a family, Mugodil. That it would reach an individual that you have called back to your church, O God. Devil, I pray, Mugodil, that they will remember their first love, Mugodil. Chegodi foro Mugodil, wherever they're at, Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you would make them cause to make amends, Lord. Whatever broke them apart, Lord. Sogodi sas Mugodil, dejan papa leka chikangari Mugodil, identur a worship that you so deserve, O God. Lord, we pray that this podcast would reach your people and even the lost Mugodil, bringing them unto salvation. We thank you, God.
Yes, Lord.
In your holy name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen.
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 God bless you.